Really, you are not a stranger to Hong Kong because I think you used to come to Hong Kong quite a bit in the days when you were reporting or writing in the region in the 80s. And I remember you doing a pamphlet on Hong Kong soon after Tiananmen Square. Have you been back to Hong Kong recently or have you been there back regularly?
I wish I had been more regularly. I first went to Hong Kong in the early, in 1970, I think, when my first trip to Vietnam to cover the Vietnam War. And I went frequently to Hong Kong and loved it, always from through the 70s and the 80s. And then, as you said, after Tiananmen Square, I published a pamphlet called Kowtow, which was very critical of the British government for not giving a lot more visas to Hong Kong Chinese who wanted to come to Britain on their British passports.
Eventually, I think they gave 50,000 passports to 50,000 families, rather, and you obviously thought that that was not enough.
I think Britain could have benefited enormously from having 500,000 Hong Kong Chinese come here.
Yes, but then you came after 1997, about, I think, 10 years ago.
Yes, I'm afraid 10 years ago was my last trip, so I'm longing to come back again because
But when you came back, did you think that Hong Kong had changed since the Brits left?
it hadn't changed in any bad way that I could see. Some of my human rights friends think it is the limitations on free speech and so on are worse than before, but most people, I think, have been pleasantly surprised. I defer to you on this. What do you think? How it's changed since 97?
We've become more prosperous and more stable as a result of mainlanders, 35 million of whom visit our shores, which is an incredible
Astonishing.
number
Yes.
when our population is only 7 million. But of course, in the meantime, you've become an expert in many specific characters in history, from Dubcek to the Shah of Iran, Rupert Murdoch, and I think lately the Queen Elizabeth, Queen Mother. So you've been a premier biographer. How does the life of a biographer pan out? I mean, do you pick a character and then what do? Because I think people like to know how you would want to write about a whole book on somebody else whom you might not even know at the beginning.
I think all of them have happened in different ways. The most interesting, in some ways, was the most recent, the official biography of the Queen Mother. And that the Queen herself asked me to do, which was a fantastic honor. When any king or queen dies in
Now
Britain,
that is a line to drop, but carry on.
let me drop it again. The Queen herself asked me to write the official biography of her mother, the Queen Mother, which was a huge honor
But
and a great
why?
pleasure.
But why?
Because I had written a book and done a BBC film series about the Queen's Golden Jubilee 10 years ago, 11 years ago, in 2002. We've now since had the Diamond Jubilee, but I did a big series called Queen and Country for the BBC and a book with it. And afterwards, that was the time at which the Queen Mother died. And I said to the Queen's private secretary, when you come to consider who should write the official biography, I'd love my name to be of the Queen Mother. I'd love my name to be in the hat. And a year later, he wrote to me and said, the Queen has asked me to invite you to write the official biography of her mother. Do
Do you
you
think it
wish
was
to?
a specific choice or a ballot?
I think there were three or four other people who knew were interested and whom they considered. I don't know who they were, and I don't know how the choice was made, but I'm jolly happy it was chosen,
But
me that was
how
chosen.
well did you know the Queen Mother?
Not well. I'd met her two or three times.
Yes. I was. I
Did you
was.
know her well?
I didn't know her well, but I was at her 100th birthday party at Windsor.
Oh, that must have been wonderful.
It was a very wonderful occasion.
Well, you're much better connected than I am. You should have been invited to write the book.
I should write the book on you.
But I could choose you next. How about that? You're saying who do I like to write biographies about? People who interest me, and you interest me, David. How would you
very flattering, but
reveal all your papers to
I
me?
don't think I'm interesting enough. But for example, Rupert Murdoch. Now, how did that come about?
Well, that was actually a suggestion from my American publisher in the mid-80s. He'd just become an American citizen in order to take over, to buy television stations. You can only have television stations in America if you are a citizen. So he'd given up his Australian citizenship, become an American, and was beginning to build up his empire there. And my American editor rang me and said, "We think this guy's really interesting. Would you like to write a book about him?" And I had never thought much about Murdoch.
And you,
never
you, had, about you hadn't it. Met Murdoch?
Never, never.
Yeah. And did you meet him? Did he cooperate with you on the book?
Not to begin with, yes. But he didn't stop his friends or his family talking to me. And when he discovered, I think they let him know that I wasn't just doing another left-wing hatchet job on him, he then agreed to see me. And so I talked to him quite a lot over the years that I was doing the book.
I mean, did you find that you have to be slightly oleaginous to a character like that in order to get access to him?
Not really, no. I mean, you've just got to say to... I mean, if I'd said to his mother, "I think your son is an absolute rotten, total rotten scoundrel," I suspect she might have said, "Rupert, maybe William Shawcross is not the person yes. we should
well,
always spend time
Well, she was a very formidable
with.
Character.
She so. Was marvellous, yes, Dame Elizabeth, a great figure yes. of Australian life.
Yes. But how about the Shah of Iran?
That I was interested in because my father had visited Iran a lot in the 1960s and 70s when the Shah was still on his throne, and my father had been president of the Iran Society here, and he had a great friend here in the 60s who was incredibly nice to me as a young man, who was the Iranian ambassador, whom you probably remember, called Ardashir Zahidi.
Yes.
He was a great playboy and yes. bon vivant and a terrifically colorful
yes.
figure.
Yes.
And I was a young sort of 18, 19-year-old, and he used to invite me to the embassy where there were lots of beautiful, beautiful young women.
And caviar.
And caviar, too. So I had a taste for the Iranian high life, if you like. And then when the Shah fell and was kicked around the world like a flying Dutchman, I thought, this is an extraordinary story.
It
because
is.
Because he had nowhere to go. This great ally of the West, who'd been our sort of linchpin in the Persian Gulf in the Middle East for 30, 40 years, and suddenly just a flying
I action. Reread that book recently, and it is fascinating, and it is incredible how quickly we seem to forget these extraordinary circumstances. Mubarak is the one that comes to mind when he has been ostensibly an ally of the West for so many years, and suddenly he was dropped, like Daily Mail would drop somebody.
There's a phrase that I quote at the beginning of the Shah book about states behaving like this. De Gaulle, who's a brilliant leader, once said, "States, les États sont des monstres froids. States are cold monsters."
Well, there it is. And then Dubček as well. I mean, he was obviously a extraordinary character during the Cold War, as it were. And how did you come about?
In 1968, the Czechoslovaks tried to revolt against the Russian oppression, and Dubček was their communist leader. He wanted to create communism with a human face, as he called it. A dream as well, yeah. or impossibility, perhaps, as one has since discovered. Anyway, I had just left Oxford that summer, and I went on holiday in Czechoslovakia with my sister, and the Russians invaded, and it was just astonishing and very moving to be there and see the Czech resistance to the Russians. So I thought, I'd like to write about this. So that was my first job as a writer.
But is it an accident or something that you might like to rectify, given that all your subjects have been Westerners, and yet you spend your formative years, as it were, in the Orient, and having written a book about Hong Kong as well, a pamphlet, are there any characters in Asia that you would like to try your hand on?
Gosh, yes, I'm sure there are. It's a very good point. I think I have always been daunted by my lack of scholarship. And I mean, if I wanted to write about a Chinese, I'd say Sun Yat-sen or somebody, I would feel I didn't know enough. I don't speak Chinese, and I would therefore not be able to do it competently. And I think that. But
all your characters were living at the time you were writing about them.
Most of them. The Shah was not,
yes.
but many of them have been. Yes,
yes,
absolutely. Murdoch is still alive. The Queen Mother was not, of course. She had
yes.
died.
Yes, yes. But
if you have a good idea of an Oriental.
Aung San Suu Kyi, perhaps.
Why not?
I mean,
there's quite a lot being written about her, I think. Now.
Yes, and perhaps one of the future leaders of China.
You'll have to tell me who those are going to be.
Yes, it's very difficult to tell. But going back to you as a writer, which is why you're coming out to Hong Kong, in order to share with us and the public at large your experience as a writer. Do you find it particularly difficult when you are writing biographies where you are limited by facts rather than imagination, and how you use your imagination to interpret the facts? So what I'm really saying is that, do you find yourself in more of a straitjacket than if you were a novelist, let's say, and if when you are in a biography, you agonize, obviously, over interpretations? How do you generally deal with those normal questions?
Well, I think you're absolutely correct. You are in more of a straitjacket, especially writing about someone, and particularly if that someone is still alive and can answer you back if you get the facts wrong. So you have to be
Did
absolutely...
Did Murdoch write to you with a list of corrections?
No, he didn't. In fact, I think Murdoch takes the view that he doesn't care what people say about him. Yes. He's very cool about that. He never sues for libel, which is very good, I think. The Queen sent me a message that when she had read the manuscript of my book, that I had got made a serious mistake. I had got the names of two of her mother's racehorses incorrect.
In reverse.
I put them back. I've corrected that fault. Yes. But you're right. And I mean, but the key word you use is imagination. Yes. And I'd love to have, to feel I had enough imagination to be a great novelist. I think a great novelist is a much more wonderful writer than just a biographer like me, and I wish I could do it, but I doubt that I can.
But do you think that the life of a person, I always think, is never one aspect, obviously, many aspects, and therefore sometimes when you catch them at a particular moment, you might magnify that to emphasize a particular point. And I just wondered how fair or unfair that is, because obviously people don't behave extraordinarily and make those points all the time.
No.
And do you find you might have a difficulty, or you find them as particularly interesting as a reflection on their character?
I think it is an interesting thing to do, but you've got to be careful not to say that this, just because this episode is emblematic in some way, it's not the whole person.
Well, you can tell us, you can tell us much more about that, but my final question is this, and it is one of my eternal suspicion that de facto or ex hypothesized, when you're writing a biography, you are always trying to be, to have the benefit, or you always have the benefit of hindsight. And
yes,
therefore, you tend to fit facts into your imagination or your interpretation.
That's true.
And do you have to be very conscious that that doesn't happen all the time?
I think you do. You have to be very aware, and you have to be actually quite humble. And you never know. No, but neither you nor I know what really goes on in the mind and the heart of someone else. And, you know, and I'm sure that many of the people I've written about have completely secret lives that I know nothing about whatsoever. So I can't possibly pretend that this
Jimmy
is...
Jimmy Savile, perhaps a subject for
I
you.
I don't think so. Thank you for the thought.
But have you got a new book coming out?
No, I haven't at the moment. So I'd love to... Maybe this trip to Hong Kong will inspire me to do something else.
Yes.
And I rely on you to come up with a great idea, because you always do have magnificent thoughts.
Well, it's very kind of you, but I will try to stimulate your bank account.
Well, that certainly needs it. Thank you.
Well, Willie Shawcross, thank you very much, and we much look forward to seeing you in Hong Kong in July at the Hong Kong Book Fair.
I'm looking forward, and I'm longing to come. Good. Thank you.